Birders around the world just broke a record. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. People who identify birds for the Great Backyard Bird Count logged a record 5,090 species. That's just about half the bird species in the world. It's part of a huge data collection effort each winter. It's run by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and the National Audubon Society, and also Bird Studies Canada. Marshall Iliff is an eBird project leader with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. eBird is the lab's online bird reporting site. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
So you're one of the people who analyze all this data that comes in when people report their bird sightings on Cornell's eBird site. What stands out to you about the bird reports from the Great Lakes region this year?
So this year was a really cold one, and a lot of the interesting stories relate to that cold. For starters, it actually resulted in a drop in the number of people submitting counts this year. So a lot of people were staying inside by the fire and not venturing outside to count the birds. But the project has been growing so much globally that in a lot of other areas we were seeing really strong growth. So we had this record year. For those that did venture out, their contributions are really helping us to understand how these very cold, very snowy, very windy winters are affecting bird populations and their movements.
And what are you finding there? How much does the winter affect bird populations?
So it certainly does affect them with mortality, with triggering some movements. One of the more obvious patterns that we've seen in the last 2 years have been a really good example is how the freezing of the Great Lakes may or may not trigger large-scale waterfowl movements. So white-winged scoter and redneck grebe last year, when the Great Lakes froze in January, fled south and turned up all across the interior of the United States south of the Great Lakes. This year, it seems that even though it's just as cold, a lot of the Great Lakes didn't freeze as early, probably because of the windiness of this year. And that has either allowed the ducks to stay on the Great Lakes or potentially just fewer ducks overall attempted to winter on the Great Lakes because of last year.
Last year, we had a major eruption of snowy owls, and they came down from the north in remarkable numbers. What are you seeing so far this year?
So we've been really lucky this year to have lots of snowy owls around again. So if last year was a 10 on the scale of 1 to 10 for a number of snowy owls that are south of Canada, this year is probably a 7. And we see this a lot because in years that have very high productivity, where there's a lot of young owls produced in eastern Canada, we see these very large flights. But often that's sort of a two-year process. So the year following the really big eruption is typically referred to as an echo flight, kind of an echo of the grandeur of the year before, and that's what we're seeing this year.
How much can you learn about the birds that we see around us all the time, like, say, chickadees?
So that's really the ultimate goal of this. One of our fundamental philosophies here is that both by having people connect with nature and with the common birds around them and reporting that online, it actually allows us to have this pulse on the health of the environment around us. And it's the common birds that are really the best metric of that. Birdwatchers get very excited about rare birds, things like snowy owls or gyrfalcons or bramblings showing up. But really what's most important is to understand when these very common birds around us start to give us signs that the environment's in trouble. So passenger pigeon, for example, was the most common, thought to be the most common bird in the world when it was around, and we hunted it literally to extinction. So understanding kind of when those changes start to happen, when birds really start to give us signals that something is really wrong with the environment around us, is really the ultimate goal of eBird and collecting data worldwide and year-round.
Marshall Iliff is an eBird project leader with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.